Okay, very good. Jed, are we back and ready to roll?
We are.
Wonderful. Welcome to all of you. This is the Media Bits Power Hour. We are formally beginning our January 2009 call, and we're going to be working today on fielding your toughest objections. We got lots and lots of response from all of you. We've organized them, categorized them, classified them, sifted, sorted, and fine-tuned, and we're set and ready. We've got almost 2 pages of questions and feedback and tough objections, and we're here to tell you that none stumped us. Right, Jed?
That's right. The answer to all is just wear a tie.
That's it. In fact, that was the answer. This concludes our call for today. Seriously, thank you to all of you. It's a delight to be here, and we know we have just a huge call of publishing and advertising sales professionals, sales managers, owners, presidents, and leaders around the world, and we're delighted to be here together. We've been hosting these calls together, Jed and I, back since 2006. We're continuing into 2009. There will probably be 8 or 9 calls throughout the course of this year. We don't meet every month, subject to certifications and travel and time of year and so forth, but we're delighted to be here with all of you in 2009 once again. And, Jed, why don't you say some opening words to the group, and please share a bit about what MediaBids is doing. And actually, there was some pretty big news about Google's shift more recently this month, yes?
Right, yeah.
So how about some words about MediaBids, and then tell the group what shifted with Google, and then I'll say a few words, and then we'll launch in, okay?
Sure. I mean, what MediaBids is a marketplace where advertisers and publishers interact. We've got about 18,000 advertisers that use our website to purchase ads, and just over 6,000 publications that sell. And it's essentially an automated process that allows an advertiser to make a purchase, much in the same way that Travelocity lets you, or Expedia or Priceline or any of the travel sites let you purchase airline tickets, see what's available, compare what different airlines are offering without talking to a travel agent. So that's what we've been doing for about 10 years, and we would love for any and all of you to participate. If you have any questions on the follow-up emails, our contact information is there, but we're always happy to help you get started or answer questions.
Wonderful.
What Ernest had mentioned about Google is that this past week Google announced that they announced that they were going to be closing their print ad sales effort, which was their attempt to sort of put print advertising in front of their AdWords customers. For those of you familiar with AdWords, AdWords is the enormously successful revenue machine that Google built that delivers pay-per-click ads that you see whenever you do a search on Google. They had, about 2 years ago, they sort of launched an effort to try to get into print advertising, to try to sell those same advertisers space in print publications to accompany their AdWords campaigns, and decided to scrap it this last week, which is unfortunate, I think, for the industry as a whole, because obviously that really gave a lot of people hope that they were going to have access to this, you know, this enormous pool of money that was there, on behalf of the AdWords customers. They have about 1.2 million AdWords customers, but they never really sort of got it going. It was always kind of something that was in beta for a long time, and they only had a few hundred publications that were participating, and so they never really kind of gave it a fair shake, I don't think. From MediaBits' perspective, it's great, right? We have less competition, but for the industry as a whole, I think it's too bad. And I think the worst part, the frustrating thing, and the thing to keep in mind is that, you know, you're going to probably hear a lot of press from Google about how, you know, print ads weren't worth it for them. Read all that with a grain of salt, because if they had gotten their system right, they would love nothing more than to have a shot at the, you know, $55 billion plus print market, which is still bigger than online, but they just didn't figure it out, and their stock price went way down, and they needed to cut somewhere, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very interesting, Jed, and it also points again to the wonderful work that you and your team are doing, and congrats as you continue to grow, and in light of their stepping out, as you say, yep, there's less doing it, and frankly, it is a very big piece of the pie. So for those of you that have been working with Jed and MediaBits, you know the wonderful service they provide, and for those of you that have not, always an opportunity to take a look at what they've got cooking and see how they can add revenue to your publication. A few words about Power Hour. I'm a business coach, business advisor, also an executive recruiter and an investment banker. We help our clients grow their biz on many, many levels, whether it's to drive your revenue, sales coaching and training, help you hire great people or bring great people to your organization, or help you buy or sell your publication. And just a quick note along those lines, while the credit market is tight, this is just a very quick caveat for those of you that are listening here today, while the credit market is tight, there are very, very interesting opportunities. There might be direct competitors in your marketplace that might be struggling, that in some cases might be thinking about closing their operations. We've been doing more mergers than acquisitions, and the price points are very attractive. So if you're thinking about your marketplace, think about those competitors that you might have an interest in engaging, and you could find those to be very interesting opportunities. And, of course, as an investment banker, we're able to make those connections and those engagements anonymously, and we get very honest feedback, so we can help you with that. Let's dive in. Today we're talking about your toughest sales objections. When you registered, we gave you the opportunity to pose three questions. We sorted and categorized them, and we're going to be talking about them in three clusters. Number one, we're going to talk about selling more ad pages, doing better prospecting, leads, and related sales objections. Number two, we're going to talk about selling in these economic times, budget challenges, and other related sales objections in that theme. And then number three, competing directly with competitors, price discounting, and related competitive sales objections. Okay, so those are the three classifications that we took all of the responses that came in and sorted them out. It was about 12, 15, 18 pages worth of information that came in, and then we sorted it out and boiled it down. There were many, many reoccurring themes. So the first piece is to know, A, you're not alone. We all have sales objections. By the way, that's why we're in sales. Okay, sales objections are part of what we do and how we navigate them, how we say, wow, look at that sales objection coming in. That's like cheesecake. That's like champagne. I am excited. One of you wrote, actually, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, you know, I made a presentation and they had no comment, no observation, no feedback. I could remember making a presentation in 1988, Jed, and I'm all chomped up and I've just come out of training and I'm going to make this early morning presentation and I'm sitting in front of a buyer, and I'm all charged up, and I'm all amped up, and I just gave the world's greatest sales presentation. And it was interesting because the prospect didn't say a single word. Uh-huh, uh-huh, nodded, uh-huh, uh-huh. I was like, so what do you think? And the decision maker says, I'm sorry, I'm just a temp. So for all of you to know, objections are, you know, the Wheaties of sales life, okay? You want objections. Objections say, I'm interested, okay? And so the first point today, and please, we're going to ask you to make copious notes because we're going to cover a lot of ground and field many, many of these objections today, but please recognize objections are great. You want them because the opposite is you don't get them, which means you don't really have a buyer or a buying opportunity, and that's not a good thing, okay? So let's talk about some of the ones that we saw right out of the gate, and we sort of clustered them together. So, Jed, we have this first one that says, let me think about it, right?
Right.
Let me think about it. For all of us that have been in sales, the let me think about it, okay, is let me think about what? What is it you're thinking about? You have to ask a follow-through question to this one, okay? Let me think about it says that, number one, you or we have not created enough interest, okay? We have not created enough interest or enough value for our product, okay? And then the responses to these will get more specific as we work with, but we put this at the top just to get your mind rolling along, okay? You have to create urgency. You have to create value, but you also have to understand what the specific needs are, okay? What the specific needs are for those that you're presenting to, because if you don't know what their specific needs are, then there is absolutely no way that you can do the work that you're doing, okay?
Specific needs, you mean like sort of some of the intricacies of their specific business, right? Like like for example, you know, what their profit margin might be,
mm-hmm.
or what their highs and low period for selling their own products might be.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about return on investment, and in just a couple of minutes, Jed, I'm going to talk about how granular we can get, all right? But what their specific needs are, why are they advertising? Is it because it's the time of year, the season, the particular product or service? Are they trying to extend their branding? Are they trying to do better than competitors? Are they just trying to go nose to nose because they are competing with other competitors, and frankly, they're not advertising in your publication the way your competitors are? There are many, many drivers that drive advertising. So when we're assessing their needs, Jed, we just have to know what is driving them, right? What's driving them? What are those specific reasons? Why are we here today? What is it you're looking to accomplish? All right? And when I talk about this ROI piece in just a minute, I want all of you to hear how specific we can actually be, because if you can't be as specific as the ROI that I'm going to share in a quick example for all of you, then you're not prepared to close that sale. So this point about let me think about it is entirely up to us, and that's a reflection either on our sales process, our sales qualifying, our sales engagement, because if you get the let me think about it, the response is, that's cool, that's great, and each month we go by, let's calculate quickly, because we ran through the ROI, what lost revenue or lost profits every month you delay in lag, okay? Let's talk about this next point. The next one says, we're not advertising right now. Check in with us in a couple of months. We're not advertising right now. Check in a couple of months. My first piece, and you see, every time you hear an objection, when I look at that objection, I say, huh, now that's interesting. There were three data points there. Three data points where we are. The first piece is, huh, that's interesting. I wonder who the we is. Okay, so let me just break this down. We're not advertising right now. Number two, not advertising. And the not advertising, okay, I'm highlighting that on my notes today. Not advertising meaning not at all, nothing, zero, no direct mail, no coupons, no flyers, no e-blast, no print, no radio, no TV. Not advertising, I want to just be clear, does that mean scorched earth? Does that mean absolutely nothing? Because in most cases it's not. So that's the second piece, okay? And then the part about not right now, but in a couple of months, and I'm going to box a couple of months. You see, because a sales objection sometimes comes at us, and it sounds like a train with 10 cars, but the reality is there are really sub-cars to that train. It's not really the train. There's the engine, there's the caboose, and there's something in the middle. You have to break down every objection sort of word by word or section by section. So the where would cause me to say, gee, I'm just curious, you know, is that just you? I know this is your company. Is there anybody else that's involved in that decision? Oh, you have a partner. Oh, you have an ad agency. Oh, you have your spouse. Okay, that's cool. At least now I know who the where is or if it's them. So you have to clarify that. Number two, not advertising. I want to know, is it truly scorched earth? Are you doing absolutely nothing? And I'm going to go down my whole checklist anytime I'm fielding an objection, and these same rules apply for any objection in any point we cover that you listen to Jed and I banter here today. And then the third part is, in a couple of months, I want to clarify, I want to know in this objection what's triggering in a couple of months. What happens then? Do you have a budget and you actually can see and show me that budget in April? If so, how much? Do you have a budgeting process at all? Do you have an ad agency that you're engaging? You won't be ready till April. Or whatever it may be, I want to clarify that couple of months. Otherwise, it feels, Jed, like the first point. Right?
Right?
We're not, you know, I'll think about it, or we're not ready right now. We're right back to the same piece. I don't know what's driving their timelines. Hence, how can I serve them, right?
Right.
Now, let's just pause here. As we're rolling through this call, remember you can send your questions in real time. We'll do the best we can to tuck them in. Send them to Ernest@powerhour.com, or just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here and the reminder, and that's actually the easiest, okay? Let's talk about this next one. It says Victoria wrote us, right, Jed? What was Victoria's question here?
If a representative brushes you off, what technique can you use to change their mind?
Okay. So if a representative brushes you off, look, we get this all the time, and there's kind of a related one. Jim writes this and says, a prospect offers no objections and leads you to think they might buy. They really have no intention of ever buying. It's the same thing. These are all related. We cluster them together for all of you because we really, you know, this is, again, about brushes you off. Well, they're brushing you off because you have not given them a compelling reason to engage with you. You have not declared, hey, look, I have to tell you, I've seen some of your print advertising, and look, our store is twice as good, and I'd like to show you the example. Or, listen, we've got an upcoming show, and I realize that you're advertising in publication X, but we're publication Y, and you're not going to get any exposure at this show that's got 80,000 people interested in talking. So you see, when you have this, quote, brush offer, those that don't engage you or those that have objections, be clear that it's our responsibility to create a sense of urgency and the distinction between us and our competitors. And in a few minutes and during the course of this conversation today, you'll hear some more of the specifics related to that. Jed, anything else to add to that?
Right. I mean, I think you hit it on the nose. I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, the people who are brushing you off don't truly believe that the advertising that they may buy is going to directly benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, something's been lost in the translation.
Great point on that, Jed. And you know, a few minutes ago we said that we were going to talk about, you know, return on investment, okay? Because I'd like to put this right on the table front and center with this group. And I know that it was kind of clustered, Jed, towards the bottom in point number three that we intended to cover there. But I'd like to tuck in with the group because it really fits in here. It sets some framework. So as all of you are thinking about this return on investment, number one, whatever print advertising you're doing, you've heard us talk about this in prior calls, and if you want to go back and archive one of the calls that we did about tracking and tracking results, it's all there. There are entire calls about phone tracking, okay, and web tracking and e-newsletter tracking. But here are the three key pieces. And by the way, if you don't have these pieces in place, you will struggle. And in this economy, it will get no better. So if you come off this call and you pause and say, I don't have all three pieces and I don't have the results from all three of these, please recognize that it will not get any easier to field these sales objections. And if your competitor has these in place, they're going to be eating your advertising dollars. Conversely, though, for those of you that are on this call, especially those of you that have worked with me or are working with me now, we have all of these pieces in place, or if not, depending on where we are and are working together, we're actively putting them in place. The three key pieces, okay? Ads that are in print need phone tracking. We've done lengthy calls on that. The monetization of your website, and those ads need to be web tracked so you have web results, and an e-newsletter that ties it all together. We'll touch on that during about the middle of this call, but your e-newsletter also has tracking performance. So if we're talking about return on investment, you should be able to add up phone call results, e-newsletter results, and web results. All right, so that's the total number of leads. If we were talking about, for example, the month of January, at the end of this month, you would have all three numbers for every single one of your advertisers. You divide that by the cost of the ad, and what you get is a cost per lead. So let's just play, for example, a $1,000 ad. We want you to write this down. A $1,000 ad divided by 100 leads equals what? What's the cost per lead?
$10.
$10.
Right.
Just having that number, Jed, lets us challenge that advertiser or that prospective advertiser to say, here, we know what our cost per lead is. $10.
Right.
How does that compare to publication X, Y, or Z? How does that compare to your newspaper? How does that compare to your radio and TV? You see, when you have these numbers, about 90% of every one of the sales objections that all of you sent, 12, 15, 18 pages deep to us, go away.
Right.
And we're moving this to the beginning of the call, right, Jed? Because you just pause and go, gosh, if I have those numbers, then I can sit down and give a presentation and I don't have to spend a lot of time playing patty cakes.
Exactly. You can really drill down with that. I mean, you know, $10 a lead for a florist may not be great shake, but $10 a lead for a guy selling tires is phenomenal. You know, so you're gonna see that it varies quite a bit by industry. It might even vary by time of year. It might vary by a lot of factors. But at least by having that sort of general number, you can really start to challenge your advertisers because there are so few publications out there right now that are talking that language, and there should be more. But that's the way to take someone who's thinking about it and make them think about it.
Really. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now let's take it another step deeper, okay? Because that's cost per lead. And for those of you that are jumping up and down going, that's cool, well, it gets better. You see, because really ROI means you know their biz. So now let's go through the model. And if we know the total leads and we divide that by the closing ratio, we get total sales. So, for example, if we're playing with 100 leads, Jed, and we know that this particular company has told us that they closed 10% of those, that's whether those are leads that come from the phone, whether it comes from your e-newsletter, whether it comes from your website, 10%, okay, that they're going to close. And you pause and go, wow, what does that equal? That equals 10 sales. Times what? What are the average sales? Okay,
right.
Are we selling trailer hitches or are we selling RVs? It depends, right?
Right.
And the success ratio and the closing ratio will change. If it's trailer hitches, the closing ratio might be 50%.
Right.
By the time people get to us and they contact us and it's a $200 product, guess what? We sell those like hotcakes and we close. Oh, good. So what I'm hearing then, Mary or Rick, is if we send you 100 leads, you close 50.
Right. And the closing ratio for most brick-and-mortar stores is extremely high. They have very high closing ratios. That's compared to sort of direct response companies.
Absolutely. And the point being that you have to know that. So now you need to pause, and I'm going to challenge all of you, okay? At this moment, I'd like you to click and send a reply to the confirmation and tell Jed and I, all we want you to say to us is, I have an advertiser, and their closing ratio is blank. Okay, we don't need the name of the advertiser. We don't need the sector. I just want you to ping back and say, I have an advertiser, any one. We're literally challenging you to send us one. Now, we're playing small because I'm going to tell all of you, if you've got 100 advertisers, the real request is what? Send us 100 examples. Let me say that again. If you have 100 advertisers, you should know like it's breathing what their closing ratios are. And you should know what their average sales price is. What their average sales price. So if it's a trailer hitch, you know it's $200. And if it's an RV that they use a trailer hitch for, then you know it's $200,000. So we'd like you to send a quick note. We'll gather up pretty quickly here, and we'll see how many of you can do that. We have a very large group. This is a big challenge. And for those of you that are not able to send that reply on the fly, I think you get the point. If you can't, then you don't really know your business. And you don't know the advertiser's business, which means you cannot get to an ROI. Do you have a comment on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, just as a quick example, we do a lot of work for Pro Flowers, and they place a lot of ads through us. And they know, for example, that in the weeks before Valentine's Day, their closing ratio, so the amount of sales they make for every phone call, is about 80%, right? And it's 99% male, and it's people who just want to get Valentine's Day over with, right? So as a result of that, even though the products they sell are relatively low cost, they know that each call that comes into them is worth a lot. It's worth, you know, more than 60% of the price of the thing they're selling to them, right? So they can, you know, they can, now obviously they might be a little more sophisticated than the average, you know, the average local business, but the same numbers apply, you know, so in their mind, right, as long as they're getting these calls, as long as they're able to generate the calls, it's worth it for them because they know exactly what the numbers, how the numbers stack up.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm still waiting for the replies to come in. I know I'm challenging all of you. We just got a response in that says, 80% is my market. Andrew, we see your note that just rolled by. That's really not the number. We're looking for what is the success ratio for your publication, which we can see on the screen. For your publication, if you bring 10 leads or you bring 100 leads to one of your advertisers, what closing ratio are they closing that business on? And the related point, and what is the average transaction size? I happen to know your industry very well. I've been around that sector for 20 years. I know what the numbers are. I'm asking you to tell me, okay?
So Ernest, one of the things that the people on the call might be up against is that some of the advertisers that they're working with may not know. So what's sort of the line of questioning that you might use with an advertiser to sort of flesh that out?
Perfect question, Jed. So here's the key piece, okay? When you are selling your advertising up front, okay? You're working through the rapport. You're working through your publication. And there comes a point in that presentation and in the learning back and forth that, number one, you're making copious notes, everything that's happening in that meeting. In order to be a great listener, you've got to be making notes. And in that line of thinking, somewhere in the middle of that meeting, you go down the path. So tell me a little bit. You know, I know that we're going to be advertising for your trailer hitch. Tell me a little bit about how long you've been doing that. Tell me how it's going. Tell me who you compete with. And I'm making notes as we go. Tell me what the average price point is. Okay, some you sell at $150, some you sell at $250. Great, I got that as well. Tell me, you know, if 10 people reach out to your company today, just broadly, what percent of those do you close? Oh, 50%? Wow, tell me more. Why is that? Tell me more. Be curious. Keep asking questions.
And so, there's nothing that people like to talk about more than their own business.
Oh, my, are you kidding me? The moment a sales presentation turns to them telling you about their business, they start to strut their feathers like a peacock. The sale is already made. You've already accomplished the goal. It's way past the rapport. Oh, gee, I see the sailboat on your desk. Oh, gee, I see your grandchildren on the picture, you know, on the wall. Oh, gee, I'm at your website, you know, and I see the pretty colors you got. That's not rapport. Rapport is tell me about your biz. Tell me what moves the indicator. Tell me what drives your cash register. That's why we're here. That's the business we're in. You see, because advertising is about return on investment. In my corporate days, we absolutely knew that $18,000 represented $118,000 in revenue. And that was the presentation. I'm here to talk to you about an investment to make money. Do I have your attention? I'm here to tell you about great closing ratios. I'm here to show you exactly what I know about the tracking and success of my publication. Are we done yet? Press hard, 3 copies. You see, so while all of you sent all of these objections, if you have your tracking in place and you can sit down with the ROI – and you can walk through these kinds of numbers, you're golden. You're absolutely golden. And, by the way, you're eating the lunch of your competitors.
Right. And it doesn't, you know, and it's probably worth pointing out, it doesn't mean that every business is going to want to advertise with you, right? But mm-hmm. what it does mean is that the ones who don't are not going to be advertising mm-hmm. for very specific reasons. For reasons
correct.
That are tangible, that you can define, that maybe you can't do anything about, but at least you know them. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not because someone's thinking about it, or you mm-hmm. know, or they say they don't have the money, or
right.
et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, your demographic is wrong for me. We tried an ad, we got this result. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
you know what we get in publication Y. Those are things that you know you can probably live with.
Absolutely. I want to quickly read a note that we just received in. Michael, thank you so much. He says this: the advertiser is a hotel, and they have an 80% conversion rate from a call to a reservation. Fabulous. So I know if I bring them 10 calls, 80% convert. If I now know what the average room rate is, let's pretend it's $100. Let's see, 8 times 100 times how many days? What's the average day? Times 3 days. Jed, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but what is that? Eight times 80 times, you know, 3 days is 1920.
Yep.
1920, and the ad costs you $1,000.
Right.
You're $920 up. And that was only with 10 examples or you know, 10 leads. Michael, that was an excellent one. Let's see what else. Who else has sent me one? Anybody else? Brian says, most of my advertisers get a 95% closing ratio once a customer walks through the door as a result of an ad. Okay, Brian, that's a great point on their ROI, but I would still roll that a step further back, and I'd want to know what the conversion ratio is of those who call or email or come to their website, any other way we can measure broader prospects. So there might be 100 that call, which converts into 10 that actually come into the restaurant, and then from there it's 95%, okay? So you need to roll that back one more space, Brian, and you need to know what the bigger number is first, which equals those who walk in, and then you want to know, in this case with a restaurant, what the average ticket price is and what they know about the return factor of those that once they become real loyal, what is the return factor? You see, because an ad today can bring in a new person to that restaurant, but they may also stay for the next 5 years. If
right.
you do a really good job, right, Jed?
Right, the retention rate is becomes critical, right? Because
mm-hmm.
because there's some companies out there that are willing to spend more money than they're going to make off a customer
mm-hmm.
initially, knowing full well that the average customer, you know, stays around for, you know, a significant period of time.
Beautiful. Here's another one. I have an advertiser who's a party planner. Closing ratio is 40% within the year. Average sales price is $200. Fabulous example, Todd and Janzi. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correct. Let's see. Let me look to see. Okay. I'm going to leave this anonymous, but somebody wrote, my publisher says it's not our responsibility for ROI, that we should not even ask the response rate. I have no success ratio. I'm not being flippant, gang. I mean, we are here and now. The very essence of what Google does is place AdWords, it tracks the phone calls, it tracks the web results, and they're crunching these numbers backward. If all of you want to know why they're doing so well and why they're worth billions of dollars, we need to pay attention. And if we want to know why web advertising is print is migrating into the Internet, we have got to know that we have got to be a lot more accountable for the results and the ROI. So I'm just going to say broadly to all of you that the less you know about the ROI, the less success you're going to have. And if you want to know why you're going to keep fielding sales objection after sales objection, it's because you do not have these numbers.
And
in essence, you're really saying, and therefore I don't care about my advertiser business.
Exactly. Okay? And that's really important, right? Because the difference between having someone, you know, if you're an advertiser, there's a difference between having someone sit there on the other side of the desk and say, you know, do you want to buy an ad? We're really great. Versus having someone say, you know, tell me about your business. Here's how I think it can work for you. You know, maybe it doesn't make sense for you to buy a full page every day for the next year. Maybe it makes sense for you to buy, you know, half pages during this period of time. I mean, you know, advertisers respond to people who they think that are doing things in their best interest.
Right. And I'm, again, going to preserve the confidentiality, but one of you just sent a note, which is smoking sterling. And if all of you could see what I'm looking at, you would fall out of your chairs, okay? Because this is exactly what we're talking about. In comes an email saying, look, here's how we play, Ernest. We drive a seven-time return on investment that an advertiser will spend $5,700 and get back $41,400, and shows all the calculations of the calls, the contacts, the closing ratios to derive that. It is pure magic. All of you should know it's the size of a business card. Imagine for a moment the back of a business card, and on that space, if you had the facts that I just read, seven times the return, how many of your sales objections just flat out go away? Give me $5,700, I give you $41,400 back. How are we feeling now? What kind of sales presentation does that look like? How many ads could you write if you could articulate that? All right? So I know that we've invested a pretty good chunk of time here with this ROI, but quite honestly, for all of you to know, it is huge. And now we can take a breath, Jed, and go back and breeze through a number of these other ones because, frankly, the return on investment and the tracking, it takes both. You've got to have the numbers and the ROI, and if you link the two together, it works perfectly. So, Jed, I'm just going to select some of these. We have some that are coming in and some that that we had prior to the call. Thank you to all of you, by the way. Continue with your questions, and we'll continue to weave those in. You can see that we're marrying those up with the ones that came in advance. Jed, I'm going to handle this piece. It's kind of a cluster of I want to try you for 1 month. I want to run 1 month, and then we'll advertise again. We don't want to sign a contract, you know, kind of that little genre. For all of you to know, draw a picture of a bell on your notes, okay, highest in the middle and slopes on both sides, okay? That bell is a description intuitively about what you know about advertising, but for those of you that are tracking ad results, you know what this looks like, okay? When an ad hits, it builds momentum. Why does it build momentum? It's like on the left side of the bell climbing up. You go from nothing to something, but whenever someone sees an ad, they sort of put themselves in a couple of categories. I'll either do something right now, later this month, or I'll set it aside, I'll do it at a later date. That's what's called accumulation of effort. And that accumulation is where results grow and grow and grow to the middle of that bell. And actually, as long as the advertising continues, it really doesn't slope down the backside. It can just continues to grow from there. Where you get the other side of the bell, of course, is if an advertiser stops advertising, then the results slide. And actually, even a month or two or 3 months after they stopped advertising, they're still getting results. For those of you, again, that use phone tracking and have your web tracking in place, you can actually see that instead of getting, it'll go something like this. First month will be 25 leads. then it grows to 50, then it grows to 100, and then you'll see 100, 110, 120, maybe 110, a little seasonal adjustment back to 80 and continues from there. For those who stop advertising at some point, that 100, 110 starts to slope back to 75, back to 50, back to 25, and about 90 days out, it goes back to zero. That's the bell. You need to understand that, and you need to take that bell and sit down in a sales meeting and describe that. In a sales presentation, you have to explain to an advertiser, let me tell you why there is no such thing as running once. In essence, you're getting no impact. The advertising builds over time, and what you're going to miss and not be able to evaluate is those who respond right now is a portion, just a portion. Those who buy in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, that will grow over time, and that's why advertising is a compounded and an accumulated impact. The way to articulate that, though, is to show them sample advertisers and sample tracking numbers. Here's an advertiser in your sector, name undisclosed, who might be in the lodging sector or in the restaurant sector, comparable to who they are, you know, this particular advertiser, and you might show them the bell graph of the way results built for an advertiser in their sector, and then they can actually understand it and see it. There is no such thing as one-time ads. The only time I've ever seen that work is when you have like a standalone show jet or a standalone event, like a one-day deal kind of thing. Other than that, all other advertising has to be an accumulation and a continued relationship, yes?
Right. I mean, the other approach to that is that, you know, as long – I mean, at least, it's, you know, you're – probably disagree with me on this, but as long as the expectations are realistic, you know, as long as the advertiser, you know, understands that, okay, I'm going to put one ad in, but I'm expecting, you know, 20% of what I hope will be my total response when I really get going. As long as the expectations are realistic, then, you know, then a test is a test. That's fair enough. But as long as the expectation is not that you hit 100% from ground zero.
Right, right. Absolutely. Point well made, okay? And for those of you that even have one time in your rate cards, I've seen it. It's one of my first observations when I'm looking at media kits. Please remove that. We did an entire call on media, on merchandising your rate card. Please, the first thing that you'll hear me say in that meeting and that presentation, Jed, that we did together, please do not have one time. It's 3, 6, and 12. It's 4, 8, and 12. Okay, I don't even like to see two times. I don't like to see 2, 4, 6, 12. That again sends the wrong message. It takes some selling skills, it takes some confidence in your product, and it takes the ROI piece. And when that's in place, you wonder why you're not selling people for 5 years. Forget the 12 months. Okay.
You know, the other approach, it takes a little more guts is to say, you know, if someone's hell-bent on running one insertion, just to say, you know, thanks anyway, because, you know, it's not going to work for you, and you know, I'm here to establish a long-term relationship that's going to work for both of us.
Absolutely. Let me skip into one more here, because this is a little bit different, and I want to cover a few of these, Jed. The question about, we have a contract with another publication, okay? Heard that, been there, done that, okay? All of you need to know exactly what the fine print says in the agreements of every one of your competitors, okay? If you haven't seen it, if you haven't read it, ask one of your advertisers to review it. Very straightforward. You know, gee, I was just wondering about, do they charge interest or do they, or what is, or when you're sitting down with an advertiser who wants to work with you and says, yeah, but I've got a problem with canceling, you know, well, fine, we'll pull out your agreement. Let's go see what it says. Oh, here's what it says. It says you can give 30-day notice. There it is. And by the way, the moment you get that in your hands, you only need it once. Now, the next time you're with an advertiser, you say, oh, God, you're kidding. I've read the back of their contract. It just says 30-day notice. It's no big deal. You need to know that intimately. Every single one of you, make this note, every single one of you should have in your hands right now a copy of the front and back, all the fine print, on the advertising agreements of your competitors. Same thing. I'm going to query this group. We have a large group. How many of you can ping me an email right now to Ernest@PowerHour.com and tell me that you have a copy of your competitor's advertising agreement in your hands, either electronically or in print? Doesn't matter to me. You have to have that. You've got to know them even better than you know your own company. Okay, so that's Matt. Thank you so much for that question.
You know, the other thing about that, Ernest, is that you know what someone is doing in another publication to some extent becomes academic if you can prove that what they're going to do with you is going to work, right? Because they're because their budget is you know, their budget should be contingent, at least in large part, based on the results that are being driven.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you can, as long as you can show results, and as long as you can deliver results, you know, the amounts they're spending with other publications should not necessarily impact what they spend with you.
Absolutely, and we're going to touch on that. I'd like to shift gears and talk a little bit about selling, Jed, in these economic times and budget challenges as well, okay? So Claire writes, you know, an advertiser says, we don't have money to advertise. And Natalie writes, what do we say when we're told there's no budget, you know, for this year? I don't have any budget to spend anymore. There really are a couple of pieces here, all right? Number one is it truly, are you truly doing, we're right back to, you know, what we handled earlier in this call, you know, truly, is everything gone? And let's really clarify and quantify what everything means, okay? Because the words might be, this is where we do that active listening. Do you mean you don't have a budget for me, or you don't have a budget for me and my competitors? Or does this mean you have no budget for anything in print? Does this mean you have nothing in newspaper? How about direct mail? How about e-newsletter? How about marketing? How about PR? How about SEO on your website? How about radio? How about TV? Do all of you kind of hear that there might be 6, 8, or 10, or 12 ways I may go? I may ask all those questions, right, Jed?
Right, right.
I need to know.
Right.
I have to know what no budget actually means. Is it truly zero? And if it truly isn't, everything has been removed? How am I feeling suddenly about this company and the prospect that they'll be in business another 12 or 24 months, Jed?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably not very good.
Right.
I've probably moved them from what I thought was a hot lead to warm to cold. If they truly have removed every penny, then I'm going to pause and say, give me a break. For those of you that were on our call last in November, we talked about a really great report that talks about the importance of advertising in a downturn. And if one of you will send a note and ask me to tuck it in a follow-up, I will. It's a fantastic article. It's the best that I've seen in a very long time. And it talks about companies that in economic downturns, how they've advertised and what the result has been when the economy has turned. It's a really helpful tool, okay? But for those who truly say scorched earth, there's a pretty high likelihood that they will not continue to be in biz, okay? And even if they were to run in your publication, they may not pay you, which is a whole other subject, okay? Also, this question related to budget and money. Is it really about you're not you don't have a budget for me, but you're still staying in the competition, okay? Because that question we have to ask when we're going and working around this budget piece, you know, because I really want to clarify, well, yeah, that's really it. You know, we already have two publications. We don't have room for you. You're not in the budget. For those of you that have worked with me and have also been, Jed, on these calls over all the years, budget, it's like budget smudget. It's like, wait a minute. We all know, for those of us that manage budgets, it's a sandwich. Revenue on the top, profitability on the bottom. We have all kinds of discretion in the middle. I passionately want something in my budget, I know how to make it work. If I'm going to a trade show and I don't have a budget for 500 balloons, I know how to get 50 balloons. I know how to get a smaller booth so I can get 100 balloons that I do want. We all know how to move that around. We all do it in our personal checking accounts. We know how to move things around and how to prioritize things. So when you get this, you know, you're not in the budget, please just know that that is simply sales smoke. Simply a brush off, and you've got to dig deeper related to that, okay? But if it's not with me and you're staying with my two competitors, then I have to pause and say, wow, you know what? I haven't created the value here. I have not created the value, and I've not explained the distinction between me and my competitors, hence media comparisons and media summaries. Jed, that goes back to a call that we ran about 18 months ago. It was a huge call, all right? And for all of you, I would like to go back and listen to that. We passionately encourage you to go back. It's an hour-long call. You need a media comparison to be able to make the distinction. So if it's, well, yes, I'm in your two competitors, but not you, therefore I don't have budget for you, out comes your media comparison. Well, gee, that's interesting you mentioned publication X. With your permission, could I show you how we're similar? Gee, they're wonderful people. They've done a great job. Here's how we're similar. Now let's observe where we're different and where we bring more value and how we run circles around them. And, gee, what I'm really asking for is you've got two full pages in each of those. How about shaving each full page down to a three-quarter or half put me in, run me nose to nose, then let me show you my phone tracking, web tracking, e-newsletter tracking, and therefore let me show you my ROI. I want you to run me nose to nose with those competitors. And gee, for the same amount of money, wouldn't it be nice by making those small shaves that you get three publications rather than two? Three versus two in this economy makes sense, doesn't it? And in fact, neither of these competitors have any of the phone tracking or web tracking or e-newsletter tracking in place. So, gee, quite honestly, I can't wait to come back in 90 days because I'm going to show you my numbers, and I know they can't. Interesting sales presentation, right, Jed?
Right.
I'm going to win every single time on this point related to budget. And in these economic days, that is a really fun presentation, but you must have now a media comparison to be able to make those distinctions side by side. Let's talk a little bit about competitors and lowering their rates, okay? Because some of you wrote to us about that. In fact, some of you wrote about increasing. Let's work on the increasing side for a moment, Jed, and then we'll work on the other side about competitors that are shaving their prices, okay? On the side of increasing rates, just because we're in a down economy does not mean that our prices have not increased, whether that's the cost for print, paper, fuel, wages, et cetera. Costs are still rising. We're actually sitting throughout all of North America, not all around the world, but certainly for those of you that are on this call in the United States and Canada, in a stagflation. And what that means is prices are rising and values are dropping and the economy is dipping, but the cost of goods still continue to rise. When you're talking about increases, you need to explain what a 2% increase is. And frankly, when you're back to your ROI, and in the example of $5,700 in advertising, if that goes up 2%, that's about $120. If we're bringing a return of $41,400, a seven-time spread on that ROI, a seven-time return on investment, Jed, $120 is not keeping us apart, is it?
Right. No,
there's no way. A 4% increase is not keeping us apart. But for those of you that are going, huh, if I don't have the ROI, then I don't really know that, the answer is you don't. That's the problem. Okay? So all of a sudden now you are hiding behind a 2 or a 4% increase and you're not feeling real good about it. And we agree. And I agree with you. If you don't, if you can't track the results, if you can't get to a cost per lead, if you can't take it all the way through to an ROI, then you are in an uncomfortable place. It is not a fun place to be. Point well made. Let's go to the other side. Let's talk about price discounting, which is the other side of this. Competitors, yes, are getting more and more desperate. Instead of working on their ROI, instead of understanding a media comparison, and instead of understanding what a competitor's agreement looks like, all right, instead of having the tracking in place, what else is left yet? I'll lower my price.
Yeah.
I'll lower my price. And I'm going to tell all of you that while your reaction might be, well, my full page is 1,000 and theirs used to be 1,000 and now they're selling for 500 on us, I got a problem. I'm on the other end of the line working with you, and I'm going to tell you that I'm breaking out in the deepest belly laugh you've ever heard. The deepest belly laugh, because I'm going, isn't that terrific news? And I always get this long silence. I go, why is that terrific? I can't sell $1,000 pages when they're out selling 500 pages. $500 pages aren't a story problem for me. You're not listening. Why are you laughing? I say, I'm laughing because they just put the nail in their coffin. You're telling me that that's a competitor that's so desperate that we're going to close out their biz in the next 6 months or less. And here's how we do it. Every time you learn of this, and Jed, I think we did a call on this, probably just a portion of a call in the past, but I'm going to give a laser capsule here. Every time a competitor, you learn that a competitor took their $1,000 page and sold it for $900, you write it down. And then you find someone that bought it for $800 and you write it down. You literally, manually, on a log, okay, on your computer, whatever it takes. And then you find another one at $7, another one at $6, another at $5. What have you just done? You've validated that they're all over the board, okay? So the moment I learn there's a $900 advertiser, I'm going to go to every other full page advertiser and say, gee, listen, I know we've talked about advertising in our publication, and I know that you haven't worked with me, and I know I want to go take you back to my media comparison, and you know I've got my tracking, and you know the ROI, but I have to add one more piece. And the piece is that there is some flexibility in the marketplace, and you need to know that. I know for a fact, as of this week, that at least one full page, and over time it might be 5 or 10 or more, is now $900, and I believe you're paying $1,000. I need you to call that publisher, and you ask for the $900 rate, which, by the way, opens up $100 more to come work with me. Not $1,000, but it's a start. I'm trying to show you some goodwill, and I'm going to keep you on the pulse, instead of Mary, because if that $900 becomes $800 or $700 or $600 or $500, I'm going to call you. Is that okay, Mary? Mary says, heck yeah, I want to know, because all of a sudden, if it's $500, I don't want to be paying $9. Thanks for your call. I'm not so happy all of a sudden with that other publication. And now when I learn there's an $800 page, I call back Mary, and it's $700, and I call back Mary, and all of a sudden it's $500. And Mary's going, boy, Ernest, you've really been true to your word every step of the way. I save $500. In fact, I'm very unhappy with them. I'm ready to advertise with you, okay? But the impact on that competitor is all of a sudden every single one of those full pages are no longer 1,000, they're 500. Jed, what have we done to the financial performance of that publication?
You've degraded it.
Degraded it? those are gentle words.
Yeah.
We have destroyed it. That competitor is spiraling down, can no longer sustain their business, can no longer sustain being in business. And for all of you, please know on the other side of the coin, this is a sharp sword. If you are in the marketplace at 1,000 and you've got advertisers at 900, 800, 700, 600, 500, and I'm your competitor, you have a major problem. You are spiraling. You, if I were working in that market against you, you have a major problem because suddenly you get 10 phone calls or you get 50 phone calls. Every one of those full pages all want $500. I've just eaten your revenue in half. You will not sustain another 90 days. You're done, unless you're just going to produce a publication that's not making money. You can't sustain that. Okay? You've lost credibility. And then when I challenge you on my media comparison to also show your print bill, and now you do, and instead of $60,000 to $30,000, you're completely done. Door's closed. I'm saying to all of you, in these economic times, it may sound mercenary, but only the strong will survive. I am not apologizing for that. If there are three competitors or five competitors in your marketplace, there may only be two. 24 months from today. And you have to ask yourself, are you going to be the two that will be standing strong using the strategies we're talking about right here? Or you'll be one of the three that's not. And I know that we have presidents and owners on this call, sales managers, salespeople. Okay? I'm telling you at every level, you have to take responsibility. If you're a sales professional on this call and you're pausing earnest, I can't get all these things in place. You owe it to yourself to sit down with your sales manager. You owe it to yourself to sit down with the president owner of your company. Have them listen to this call. Say, you need to listen to what Ernest said because I want to be part of the two. And what Jed was talking about because I don't want to be part of the three that are no longer. Right, Jed?
Right.
Okay? But then you have to go to the other side, okay, for those of you who are the presidents and the owners of your company or your sales managers that are the leaders on this call. And you have to pause and say, you know what? I need to take a strong stand here. As a leader, what is my vision for the future? What is the vision for the next 12 and 24 months? These are really tough times, and you've got to make tough decisions about what you're going to do next. And if the words sound too bold or too harsh today, I promise you it's only because we need you to hear these 100% undiluted. We really need you to get it right. Okay? So this piece about rates and competition, please celebrate that. Please know that that's a very important part. Let me just see if there were one or two other points that I wanted to touch on. I know, Jed, that we've been tucking in a number of the questions that have been rolling in. Let me just pause. We have about 4 minutes before the top of the hour. Let's do this, Jed. I'm going to pause because I'd like some extra time with the group, if we could. So I'm going to pause the recording of our call. And then I'm going to come back, and we'll talk to the group and tell them how we're going to open the line. Is that okay?
Great.
All right, wonderful, because I really want some interaction with the group, and I want to field some of their questions. So give me just one moment.